joke about Dima being.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Dinamo Abroad podcast, when we talk about anything and everything Dinamo Kyiv related. With me today, I'm of course your host Komar, which it seems I'm the host like a lot of times recently. But with me today is my good friend from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which is not America, like in the in the direct sense. But yeah, let's leave it at that. How are you, Andre?
I'm doing pretty well, very happy with the recent Dinamo results, and of course, very happy with Spirna Minayevo. Excited to be going to those games in June, so all is well right now. How about you?
Yeah, we're actually going together at least to one of them, to the Slovakia one, because I also got tickets. One ticket, because it was really like challenging to get one, as you know, Andre. But I'm very happy we get to feel the vibes together and maybe some other guys. So it's great news, but in here, we are talking about anything and everything Dinamo related. And since we recorded last time, I believe it was after 1-0 win against Chernomorets. There were like three games, and we got spoiler alert if you didn't follow. We got 7 points out of nine, but we dropped the points at the most unlikely of those three games, which was the away game against Veres. I believe we all of our predictions at the previous podcast was a comfortable win. And as I remember, I think I remember correctly, we just conceded a late penalty. I think it was Benito. I think it was deserved, but yeah, I would understand the referee that wouldn't whistle on that, but it was I think it could be crucial 2 points on our way to the championship. As the classic says, shit happens, so I actually watched this game, like not all of it, but like about 60 minutes. And I can say that we didn't look very convincing. We actually just gave up a little bit after we scored. And we waited, we invited the catastrophe to happen. And it, of course, happened. It could have happened in our other 1-0 wins, because we invited it a lot of times. But I guess if you play with the devil, he will come back to bite you. I don't know if that goes like that, but yeah, I think it sums it up great. So what were your thoughts on the game, Andre? I know it was a long time ago, but maybe you remember something.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, it's still frustrating. Those are definitely types of matches in which you should get 3 points. I recall that day I told Eric, one of our other co-hosts who couldn't be here today, that I refused to do a write-up on the match because I was so frustrated with the result. But penalty was a little soft, but definitely deserved, and it was our fault for letting it come to that. I believe Voloshin scored his goal in that game in the 5th or 6th minute. And after that, we weren't much of a threat. I think we were pretty even on total attempts with Veres in the entire game.
Yeah, it was 8-7 in shots,
For
in
us.
Vera's favor, actually.
Oh, okay. Even worse. But, yeah, that's not a team you should be playing that close with. I feel like they are a scrappy team, and they have a pretty solid home crowd, which makes, obviously, with less fans, it doesn't have as much of an impact. But Yeah, still a game we should have won, and hopefully we're not looking back at the end of the season wishing we had those extra 2 points.
Yeah, it reminds me time when we refused to go to Mariupol and we dropped 3 points, which we were lacking at the end of the season. That's yeah, that's Sürkis Hall of Fame moment. It's we're not gonna talk about this now. Maybe in some flashback episode, maybe we're gonna have some, because like sometimes really fun to recall some Dynamo shenanigans from last couple of years. But back to the reality. Well, yes, about the fans. I think it was like the first game with fans, right? On the Vera Stadium. So I can recall from the broadcast that it was really loud and the fans were really great. So maybe it had an impact on Vera's players, which are usually not that so to say, no offense, of course, gifted. But yeah, fair play to them. They got one crucial point. I don't really know what's their table situation right now, but it could be crucial in their fight for survival. They are actually 14th for on goal difference, and it's like the relegation playoffs so far. Yeah. Anyway, a couple days later, we bounced back with a win, with a really weird side that had Zorya kits on them. It's, I didn't really recall many of the players that played. It was, of course, connected with the alleged strike that Zorya players started against the owner, Ivan Herder, if I'm not mistaken. Because he didn't really paid the like the he Conference League prizes, right? Prize money they got from the from qualifying there and playing there, like not really good actually. That's irrelevant. So this ragtag team we comfortably have beaten 2-0. I think it was interrupted by some error alerts, as it usually is in this season. But I can't really recall anything significant from that game, judging from the level of the opponent, right? So maybe you can tell us something, because I'm in the dark in here.
Yeah, well, it was, I guess, a comfortable win. I would say only winning by two against that ragtag team, as you called them, might be a little underwhelming. Probably should have won a bit more comfortably, but I'll take a clean sheet any day with this team. I remember the goals came from Vanat and Popov with a header late in the game. So it's good to see Vanat on the score sheet again, continuing his good form. Overall, it was a good performance, but not great considering the opponent. They could have been a little bit more dominant, but 3 points, which we desperately need, all of them at this point. And we play them again tomorrow, which we'll get into more later.
Yes, of course. So, going like down the memory lane, so to say, after the Dynamo Zorya game, we've got international break in which some of our players featured, mostly and I think exclusively for Ukrainian sides of Ukrainian junior sides of various ages. So we of course know that we witnessed two thrillers by our main Sbirna team. I actually attended the one against Iceland. It was really awesome. But of course I barely had I think I had like a couple of mini heart attacks during that game, because we should be winning it more comfortably. And I can of course say that in both of those games, Volodymyr Brashko proved that he can be a 100% replacement for aging Stepanenko, and I really hope we have another defensive midfielder for, like, and I don't want to say another decade, but Stepanenko was a midfielder for a decade, so yeah, I certainly wish for it to happen, especially when the rivals for these positions are the likes of Sidorchuk and Nazarena right now. So, yeah, you don't really actually notice a defensive midfielder if you watch the game live. So after watching the highlights and bar some shaky moments against Bosnia, I think it was a stellar performance, and I think it should jack up his value on the markets. So also, I hope it will jack up his value on the Euros, of course. But we also had another Dynamo players feature on the other Zbirnas, like the younger ones. So I didn't really follow it. So maybe you can elaborate maybe a little bit on Brashko and other Dynamo players that featured.
Yeah, so at the U21 level, they only had one qualifying match. So they had a friendly, I forget who the friendly was against, but then they played Azerbaijan in their qualifying match. Their Euros aren't until next summer, for that age group. But in that qualifying match, we had Volochin and Nesharet start, as well as Jacek, who's on loan at Zorya. And he also scored in that game. I'll talk about him a bit more in a second, as he kind of relates to the Brashko discussion as well. But the U19s also comfortably won all three. I believe it was three matches they played over this break, their qualifying matches. And Ponomarenko was one of the stars of that team, which is no surprise. To us, as we know, he is a goal scoring machine already for Dynamo U19s, and he continued that for Ukraine's U19s as well. So it's good to see him continue that on a more international stage, and sooner than later, he'll be a regular in the Dynamo first team and hopefully in Spirna as well, but still a little bit down the line. But he has appeared as a sub in a few games for Dynamo already. Yeah. And then back to Brashko. I pretty much agree with your analysis. I was trying to watch him a little more closely, but as my nerves rose throughout the games, it was hard to do so.
Understandable. Yeah.
Yeah. The start of the Bosnia game, he definitely looked a little shaky, but he definitely grew into the game pretty well. I think the Iceland game, he was okay to start, but same thing as the game grew towards the end of the first half and all of the second half, he looked really great. And yeah, it's obviously great for Dynamo if he starts at the Euros, which I feel like after those performances, he might have a chance to. It all depends on Stepanenko and how Rebrov feels about him. Maybe we see a bit of both of them, but that'll be good to inflate his value. And then if we were to sell him and after the Euros in the summer, we do have Jacek, who has been playing pretty well for Zorya as well as the U21 Ukrainian squad. So hopefully he is a good replacement in Dynamo for Brashko if he does leave.
Well, a shame we don't have Dima in here because I believe he said he doesn't really rate him. But I don't really know what he's up to right now. But maybe we can discuss it in, I don't know, maybe in the summer when he'll be like back from Zorya alone and maybe integrated into the squad. So yeah, I'm very happy that Dynamo players are performing well and our Zbirnas are performing well. But with that in mind, the international break is over in our walk down the memory lane, and we had another game by Dynamo, this time away in the great city of Poltava. And it ended with, so to say, a hockey score, right? 5-1. I think Sasho even said that it didn't really reflect how the game looked. We just had a good luck near the Isenko goal. And I was like really glad that after watching the highlights, because I didn't have a chance to watch the game, that the offensive actions that our players did were really great, really elaborate. I think we can already see what Sasha wants to do with this team. And of course, we also still have problems in the back, but luckily they showed after we were leading 5-0, so it wasn't like really an issue. But we again lost the clean sheet, so well, take from that what you will. I think it was overall a good result. So yeah, with that in mind, we go into the next game, which will preview shortly. But what were your thoughts on the Vorskla game?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was very long because of the air alarms. I believe after the first one finished, a few minutes later, another one started. And then after that one finished, a third one started. So I believe the game didn't really get underway again until 3 hours after the official start time.
Yeah, but
so
Butovsky Stadium has some floodlights, I believe,
yep.
So it wasn't an
yeah.
issue.
This isn't Zakarpattia. But I unfortunately couldn't watch the second half because of Easter Sunday stuff, but I was able
Oh
to
yeah, it
rewatch
was
the
on
game.
Easter Sunday, right?
Yeah, I was planning on watching the entire game, but Russian missiles had other plans, as they always do. Overall, I think, as the story goes with Dynamo this season, attacking wise, it was pretty fun to watch. Some good goals from some good players. Nice to see Yarmolenko back on the score sheet.
Oh yeah, I missed that.
Shevchenko. Shevchenko, I think those were his first goals of the season.
Yeah, except the Besiktas one.
Yeah, so first goals in the league on the season. He has been playing pretty well lately, but it's good for his confidence to finally score as well. And then Vanat scored and Brashko as well. But defensively, it was still pretty poor. I think they probably should have scored another goal or two on us instead of the one. They definitely had some good chances to make it two or three goals scored. Looking at the total attempts on SofaScore, it was apparently 15 to 10 for Vorskla. So that is not a promising stat defensively. I guess it's worth noting, though, that we had Nomakhovko in defense because I think he picked up a knock in the international break, and then Vyvchenko was on the bench and definitely was not Dubinchak's best game. So maybe with Mihovko and Vyvchenko in the lineup, the defense looks a little bit more solid, but we'll see. We'll see what lineup we come out with tomorrow.
Yeah, so before we go to the preview of the next game, which is again against Zorya, it's the rescheduled game from the game week 6 from the last season. I believe it was rescheduled because of our great conference league campaign and Zorya's campaign as well. We have a few quick, so to say, rumor topics to talk about. So first thing, I just saw that because I think I didn't really watch it like in the full extent, but on Cihanic Live, and we all know how Cihanic is, He said he had a question about the loanees we had, but not like the all of them, but Buleca and Giorgi. So he said he's going, like Dinamo's gonna get them back for the summer at least, but there is no like a real belief in the club that they are going to stay in the club. I think Gio phrased that he won't, he doesn't want to stay at Dynamo. But by the way, congrats on your qualification for Georgia. I really had to say that. And he's at Dynamo Batumi right now, I believe. And Buleca is at Zagłębie Lubin, which is in my book, it's a shit club, and he could should leave as soon as possible. Yeah, but anyway, and they're both going back to the Dynamo roster in the summer. But today I saw the news that Polisia is interested into Giorgi Tsiteishvili, which is like very surprising for me, because I thought that his reluctance to stay at Dynamo was connected to the war stuff, but apparently it's not only that. Of course, it doesn't have to be true, but the source is Sport UA, which is, I believe, kind of a reliable source in the Ukrainian media. So, barring Buleca, because I don't really know what are his plans. What do you think about this Gio situation? I don't think you heard it about before, right?
Yeah, no, this was more in the last couple of days. I also only saw the Polisia rumors just in the last couple hours. First of all, congratulations to him again on the qualification. I'm glad we will be at that tournament with Georgia. But yeah, I always also believe that his reluctancy to play at Dynamo was mostly due to the war. Maybe the Polisia interest is very one-sided and he's already rejected that on his end. Who knows? But maybe it had to do with the club, maybe it had to do with Lucescu. Hopefully he can possibly reconsider with Sasho at manager now. Either way though, I think we can survive without him. I would like for him to possibly come back and maybe be given a chance to compete for a spot in the lineup or at least in the rotation. But ultimately, if the player doesn't want to play here, then we can't force him to. And I guess in that sense, if he doesn't want to play here that bad, then I don't want a player on the squad who doesn't want to be at the club. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, I believe after the U20 World Cup, we really had like high expectations from him, and he got some chance at Dynamo, but I don't think it was really enough to showcase his potential. Also, he was haunted by injuries on both his loan spells in Wolfsburg and Czarnomorets, so yeah, pretty much wasted potential. I think, yeah, I remember I saw him live when he was on loan at Wisła Kraków, and this was the season that they got relegated from the Premier Division of Polish football, and he looked like the only person that wanted to do something in there. So, well, I don't think this level of opposition really highlighted his potential, but yeah, I kind of changed my mind about him a bit, and the fact he's still being called up to Georgia national team, I think, states that he still has a potential to go to the better club and develop his career, not like the potential of Kvaradona, of course, but we have some Kvaradona fans in our podcast crew, so shout out to Alex. Yeah, I think that should be it about Gio. He has still like 1 year on his contract. He can still leave on this FIFA law that Serhii Palkin hates so much. And this will probably be another loan spell, if you ask me. I don't really see it going anywhere with Dynamo, which is a shame, of course. On to other news, which are like pretty well Dynamo-esque, because also we tend to generate some of this news. So first one is that Gerson Rodriguez has some problems with Luxembourg law, and I believe he was sentenced to some prison time, but it was it can be executed right now, so he'll be on probation. And apparently he didn't go back to the roster of Slovan Bratislava, and he was like deleted from this roster. I don't really know how to comment this because this guy is just unreal. It's, you have some thoughts about this? Go on.
I feel like every week there is something new about him. He's never going to play for us again, nor should he. So I'm just excited for the day he's off Dynamo's books and we don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah, same. It's, yeah, he actually like he was good for us in some spells, so fair play to him, but it's not worth the all other things he's generating. Other thing is just I'm gonna go through it very quickly because Alex is not there. We would have like lots of laughs about this. Today, Aleksander Chackiewicz was sacked from Zagłębie Sosnowiec, which is like the last team in the second tier of Polish football, after the feud with the ultras of Zagłębie Sosnowiec, and they apparently wanted to beat him up because of the results of the team. I believe we used to say like of all the things that could happen in the UPL, I'm surprised it didn't happen. UPL, and I think it applies to this. Well, actually, Leszek messaged me today that I really predicted, I think, even on this podcast, that he would be sacked on the 4th of April. Well, I was mistaken by one day, but fair play to me for being like having a good foresight, right? Yeah, so well, about a little bit funnier segment, that should be it. So to wrap it all up, we should preview the next game, which is the Zorygi. So what do you expect from this fixture?
Well, since the feud between the players and the club at Zorya has seemingly been resolved, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
I believe they should have a bit of a stronger lineup. Although, as always goes, the Dynamo players on loan there will not be playing, which is, I believe, four or five. It's Anton Bol, Alexander Jacek, Vikenty Voloshin, Horvat, and I think Benajok, the left back, who isn't that big of a player on their squad, but those players will not be playing against us. So still going to be a stronger side for them, but I still expect us to win. They are in pretty decent form right now, though, so have to be careful we don't fall into another trap game, kind of like we did against Veres. If I had to make a prediction, though, I'll go with our classic 4-2 win, just because our defending looked kind of poor last game, but we were scoring lots of goals, so maybe that continues again.
Yeah, I actually, yeah, I in general, I agree. I hope that Van Aert is going to score more goals because he's on fire recently. I also hope that we are going to start at last work on the defensive plan, on how not to concede stupid goals. And I know, do you think that Yarmolenko should start that game, or should he be just featured about, or like a sub?
At this point, I would still say a sub. If he wasn't ready to start 3 4 days ago, then I doubt he's ready to start tomorrow. I don't love Kabaev, but he's been a little bit better as of recently. So I think it's fine to start Kabaev and Voloshin again, and sub Yarmolenko in when it's necessary. Or if we're up by quite a bit and he can come in and get another goal for us.
Yeah, I think like holding on to the usual plan should really work for this game. I just hope that we didn't use our goal scoring slots against Voskla, and it won't be like this freak game that we have like 10 shots on target and no goals. So whatever Zoria keeper name is, he's gonna have like the match of his life, because if it's entirely possible with this club. I mean, Dynamo, of course. But yeah, in terms of our alleged title chances, I think we need to win every game we have, because we can't really count on Shakhtar giving us presents. So I actually have to say, I trust Sasho to do his best. And even if we don't win it, I think that his spell. After Lucescu was sacked slash resigned, it was a positive one, and we can build on that.
Agreed.
Okay, so with that in mind, I think we are all out of topics from today, and yeah, we're gonna cheer on Dynamo tomorrow. If we of course can watch, we'll watch it. And we will probably go back to you with another episode, commenting on that and commenting on another rumors on next game and so on and so on. So, Andre, if anyone wants to contact you, should they do it or they shouldn't?
No, please do not contact me, but please follow Dynamo Abroad on Twitter or X or however you want to call it.
Right on. And if Eric is going out from his coma, I think we should expect another Substack post, or shouldn't we?
Yes, I will be getting back on that, and so Eric and I will be working on getting that out to you. Obviously, there's a bunch of matches in a few days, so we'll get some match reviews out on Substack.
Yeah, so anyways, stay tuned for more Dynamo content, and from all of us, this time from me and Andriy, because whatever else the other guys are doing at Dynamo Abroad, we wish you a very good evening, day, weekend, whatever, and we'll see you next time.